As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
If I try to swipe my card at the pump to pay for my gasoline and a sign pop up that say, please see cashier, I'm going to get up and get on up out of there. I'm gone. I'm getting on down because clearly I didn't want to see the cashier. That's why I'm paying at the pump. I'm getting on down. You'd have missed that sale for the day. Fix these machines out here.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, May 9th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Natasha Hotboy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. And over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Hello to everyone joining us live on YouTube. Smash that like button and subscribe. We're going to hit the beach later in today's pod, answer a few of your questions that you sent in, and we got a fun tweet of the night that has to do with creepy mascots.
Excellent.
So we'll go through some of them. But we had one game on last night, and it was another great game in Madison Square Garden that had some drama that I know we'll get into, but we had Jalen Brunson returning to us from a foot injury there in the first half. Pacers went on a big run, but he comes back 54 years to the day of Willis Reed.
Come on.
Coming out of the locker room in Game 7 of the 1970 Finals. Brunson comes back, sparks the team, and they go on to win Game 2 in a close game, but they pulled away at the end. But they go back to Indiana, up 2-0 in the series. He was incredible. 24 of his 29 points in the second half for Brunson.
What a night. What a night watching basketball in Madison Square Garden, especially because the Knicks coming in injured, but then they had guys falling like flies out there. Mm-hmm. And I watching the first quarter, I see OG Anunoby doing his thing. I got a little worried. I start to think he looked like Raptors OG, where he's shooting those excess shots, the step backs. And I was thinking about that in the game one as well. But I was totally wrong. The guy is playing awesome. He didn't go overboard by any means. This is the best playoffs he's ever played. He had 22 in the first half for the Knicks. But then the Pacers are punching back. Tyrese Haliburton, after a quiet game one, looked damn good himself in that first half. Mm-hmm. 22 himself in the first half. And the Pacers bench came out in that second quarter after Jalen Brunson goes down and he's gone. We don't know what his
What's
status is.
What's going on? Where is he?
Yeah, then T.J. McConnell, Obi Toppin, as they always do now. All of a sudden, they're great.
That's right.
They just look so good. And they're up 10 at the half. And then Jalen Brunson, it's like he's coming out of the tunnel, sort of. They had that shot of him. Yeah. It ain't Willis Reed, but it is Jalen Brunson coming back hurt. And he didn't look good at first. He didn't look right. He started a little slow, but Dante DiVincenzo was picking up for them. He looked freaking great himself in that second half. He knew that they needed something. Haliburton was quiet in that third quarter. But then T.J. McConnell comes on and goes head-to-head with Jalen Brunson. That was friggin' fun as T.J. McConnell's hitting these little lefty layups and Jalen Brunson looking at him going, I got to do this, and going directly, physically at him. Great replay of him going and hitting T.J. McConnell in the chest, going right at him. That was awesome. T.J. McConnell, man, this is so much fun. Him playing defense in this half. or in this series, I should say, just making the Knicks have these backcourt violations over and over and over again in both games. And then OG goes down. He's out for the entire game with what appears to be a hamstring injury. And the Knicks are just still enough because DiVincenzo was great. 20 points after half for him. Hartenstein throwing these assists. Jalen Brunson, even though he missed that entire second quarter, 24 in the second half. And people wondering, shouldn't TJ McConnell have been out there instead of Andrew Nembhard, guarding him one-on-one?
Final 7 minutes, yeah.
At the same time, I don't think anyone was stopping him. I don't think it was TJ McConnell, who has probably gassed himself for how hard he plays, playing 94 feet. And they were trying to double at times on Brunson. That wasn't working because the Knicks were just too good. And just playing him one-on-one, yes, I would have rather preferred to see him. For sure, because he had a good game. But either way, I still think the Knicks win this game, especially with Tyrese Haliburton not having a superstar game in the second half like he did in the first half. Maybe he's got back problems. I don't know. Anyways, the Knicks keep doing it. They keep doing it with no guys out there.
Yes, they keep doing it. They either get Jalen Brunson hitting an incredibly tough shot, or when he misses, they grab an offensive rebound and then either score off of that, sometimes kicking out to a three-point shooter who knocks it down, DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, whatever. It's wild, the recipe they have figured out here. It's like, okay, Brunson, take every shot imaginable. It's okay if you don't score, we'll just grab it and then score on the rebound. And, you know, they just do it with less and less guys as the postseason goes on. It's nuts.
They got so many guys hurt that I had to literally go and look at the Knicks roster to think of who else they could play on the wing. Shake Milton?
Yep.
He's a Knick. He's played 27 minutes since he got to the Knicks. Mm. Alec Burks, 23 minutes since he got to the Knicks, including 44 seconds last night. Maybe those guys will actually play going forward here because the Knicks are down to basically nothing. But they have Jalen Brunson, who is every New York Knicks hero rolled into one at this point. He's Willis Reed. Happening 54 years to the day?
That's nuts.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Also, that Game 7 of the finals was on May 8th.
Yeah.
Season's pretty long nowadays.
It's true.
He's also the new Bernard King. Four straight 40-point games, which hadn't happened for the Knicks since Bernard King in 1984. He's at least the best Knick since Melo. He's probably surpassed Melo at this point. He's as sweaty as Patrick Ewing. And after this playoff run, he could win a seat in Congress just like Bill Bradley did.
Mm.
He's every Knicks hero that has existed.
Yeah.
No wonder they follow this guy so much. Because you're right, in the fourth quarter, it's Brunson, take a shot. If you get trapped, dish it to somebody, and we're crashing the glass. The Pacers don't have an answer. Nembhard absolutely cannot guard Jalen Brunson.
No.
I would try literally anybody else. Jalen Brunson has been scoring over 6 foot tall guys since high school. This is not a challenge for him.
Right.
Yeah. He sees Nembhard. Surely he feels him, but when he rises up for a jump shot, he's not there. It doesn't matter. So I would go with Nesmith, maybe because he's not really doing much if he's not playing on the ball defense. McConnell, I think, has to at least get a chance. He at least makes it tough, though I'm with you, Tess. He's short, too. Brunson will score right over him, but the Pacers try to trap him. That leaves it 4-on-3, either to play offense or to crash the glass. These guys are insane on the offensive glass in the fourth quarter. Indiana was winning through three quarters on the offensive glass, 12-7. They were beating the Knicks at their own game in the fourth quarter. 5 offensive rebounds for the Knicks, just 2 for the Pacers. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So Carlisle said he considered bringing back TJ McConnell, but decided against it because it wasn't how his team has played throughout the season. You know, they play fast. They're more of an offensive-minded team, and so that's why he obviously went with Haliburton. I think the question, like you said, TK, is like, okay, why not play Haliburton maybe with TJ McConnell there, the way he is at least giving you an effort. Nembhard's played well offensively, but yeah, he has been getting torched from Brunson. Brunson's 14 of 21 from the floor when Nembhard is on him. That's 33 points through these first two games. And, you know, 10 of these coming down the stretch on Andrew Nembhard, a lot of them. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it was a little odd. You saw, like, they kept showing us McConnell on the sidelines there, you know, just him, like, getting into it, heckling a lot with some New York fans a lot of the night. But
that was phenomenal.
Yeah, you sort of understand you're put in a tough spot. You're like, Rick's right, like, we don't usually end games all season long with TJ McConnell. We do it with these guys and more of an offensive-minded approach. But in this one, you maybe want McConnell to at least...
Sure.
A guy that's on a bum foot, too. I want the guy that's, like, up in him and making it a little more challenge because he just plays a lot harder and a little different than Andrew Nembhard, who's, again, has played well in the postseason.
They also don't have a good defense overall. They struggle defensively.
No, that's right. This is them, really.
Yeah, overall this entire season. So, yes, it would have been nice to see T.J. McConnell come back. And, yeah, he was talking trash with Knicks fans in the front row a couple times
on both sides
of the floor, which was super cool. And I know it's only 10 points and 12 assists for T.J. McConnell in this game, but I think it's his best game in his playoffs history, even though he's done some more things in this postseason to close out the first series against Milwaukee. He has looked great.
It would have been game one, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see him. There's no doubt. Yeah. At the same time, I just don't think it's happening. The Knicks are just – they were just scorching hot. I think it may have helped Jalen Brunson that he sat out the entire second quarter, so he was extremely fresh with half a foot out there in the fourth quarter. He was asked after the game about playing against T.J. McConnell by Chris Haynes. I liked his answer. He didn't say – that guy, you think that guy's good against me? He said, I respect that guy. I appreciate that guy. That's the only thing I'm going to say about it. So he was pissed inside, but at the same time, it was a good little fight there that they had, but I don't know who else comes out and guards him. Nesmith probably is the best.
He would have fouled. If he has to guard Brunson the whole game, he'll foul out for sure.
Yeah, the whole game. Maybe just the fourth quarter option. Maybe. To me, more so than the Pacers somehow becoming a good defensive team, which they aren't. I was just a little disappointed in Tyrese Haliburton in the second half. He's got a back problem in that he was awesome in the first half and then just pretty quiet, even though he got it done.
He got points in the fourth quarter, but a very quiet third where the Knicks were making their huge run.
Yeah, he had 10 points in the second half, all in the fourth quarter. Right. But yeah, he goes from 12 shots in the first half to, you know, just a quick two in the third quarter. He was just, while they had a lead, he was just letting the other guys do it. And then he came on in the fourth quarter. So it was a good performance by Tyrese Haliburton. Definitely good, just not superstar-like.
Great. Yeah, I mean, there was one that jumped out to me where he's just a little too much in pass-first mode. It was like 5 minutes to go. The Pacers are down two. He's got DiVincenzo on him. He drives to his left, and he gets to around the free throw line. And he probably could make a play at the rim. He could stop and pop there. And instead, you can almost tell he's like thinking the entire time, I'm trying to go to Siakam here, who's around the free throw line as well. And I feel like the Knicks were reading that. Again, they're playing him almost like as he's going to pass first. And that was a deflection and going the other way. And it was like, those are the ones that you probably want to take or put pressure on or maybe try and get to the line. Yeah, maybe it's the back. Maybe it's still the leg. Accumulation of all of this.
He may have just been chilling ready for the fourth quarter because, that was bad possession. But the third quarter was the only quarter they really lost. They got popped in the third quarter. That's where the game turned true.
Yeah.
Knicks way. And I know people are talking officials and all that, but I'm always okay with it this one. In the first game, the Pacers fans should be pissed, should be angry about the last couple minutes, the way it went.
Yeah.
And this one, meh.
Well, Rick Carlisle and the Pacers say there was like basically twice as many incorrect calls in game two. They are now sending, all the calls that they deemed incorrect to the league for games one and two, I guess. Rick Carlisle decided he wasn't going to send that report after game one. But I think the NBA this morning maybe got 78 incorrect calls that were, in favor of the Knicks in these first two series. Rick Carlisle gets tossed in this game at the end. He's livid. He's over it. We also had the weird...
McConnell and Haliburton, just quickly, post-game said, that's not why we lost.
Yeah, I know.
So, there's that. But Carlisle, I guess, has to be met.
Well, Rick Carlisle began his post-game news conference with like a 2.5-minute monologue about the officiating, the inequality in officiating in this Eastern Conference semifinals. And the quote that's got pulled and got everyone going, whoa, is he said, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot, no matter where they're playing. He did praise the Knicks' physicality and did, like those guys, say, we've got to match that. But he just thinks, his team, when they play physical, get the whistle. And when the Knicks play that way, that more times than not, they're not. That's his issue. Do you think he has a case here? Is this the idea of home cooking, Madison Square Garden, and the energy of that crowd? I think it plays a small part.
Definitely plays a part in
it.
I think you're going to get calls if you're the home team and you got a crowd that's going crazy. 49 missed calls, according to Rick Carlisle in game two. They only played 48 minutes, I think, in this one.
Jeez, that's a lot of missed
more
calls.
Than one per minute. And the one that had to have set him off was the double dribble. That was pretty weird. When have you ever seen a ref call a double dribble, then all the other refs come around and be like, that wasn't a double dribble.
Right.
We're reversing it, especially considering the way the kickball went in game one. They had an impromptu review session in game two, and they couldn't do it in game one. I'd be pissed too I'm Rick Carlisle. But it also feels like Mark Davis is the kind of guy that's going to reward that aggressive team. Just ask Mike Malone. Back-to-back nights, we have had guys absolutely furious at Mark Davis.
Yeah.
Because the other team is being a little bit more aggressive, and they get the leeway. Mark Davis likes a fight out there, so you got to bring it to him.
These were a lot of calls that Mark Davis saw in a different way. I think it was a different game in Minnesota. Those guys were getting extremely physical. There's no doubt. I will say about the double dribble, yes, it is strange to see a referee go, a full whistle, stop the play, that's a double dribble, and then three referees get together and say,
Wait, hold on.
That wasn't double dribble, which it wasn't. It did look strange. Isaiah Hartenstein, a 7-footer, dribbling the ball with one hand, put the other hand in the same position, very close. But the whole kickball thing, they definitely should be mad about that. That wasn't overturned. You can't review that. It would have been nice if they just made a whistle.
They should have done the same thing.
They could have been like,
that wasn't a kick.
Yeah. Oh, that one was hard to see. But anyway, that's what they should be mad about. It was kind of nice that they got the right call, if you're not a Pacers fan. That it wasn't, like, the Knicks didn't lose the ball. Isaiah Hartenstein was just dribbling. Whistle. So, weird stuff.
Yeah, very, very weird stuff. We'll see what the whistle's like in Indiana. And I think it will be different, especially because you're in your own barn. And you have to match this team that obviously does play hard. This is their MO. They play wild. And yeah, the officials are going to dictate that of how the game is called. You want it to be consistent. Are you going to call a lot? Are you going to let them play? We generally all want to see these teams play. Like, this is more fun when there's not a goddamn whistle, you know, every 30 seconds. But you want it for both teams. You want the consistency. I get all that. Yeah, there are other reasons they lost this game, though.
Yeah.
And this is what they're talking about. They went 10-17 at the free throw line. There were some big ones missed late. You know, Siakam missed one that jumps out to me.
I think he went 0-for-2.
Yeah.
Oh, he was struggling.
He put
himself a foot and a half back from the line and started shooting. Yeah. There was some bad shots from Siakam.
Miles Turner took that step back three, I guess we can call it. It was like 2:50 to go. That was a what the hell are you doing? That was rough. And then, you know, we already talked about Rick's decision maybe to keep TJ McConnell on the bench. There's all these other things that went into this. And the other part, just like, you got to grab a rebound.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, like, this is their thing. And they're like, keep losing bodies. And they keep playing bigger minutes. They shouldn't be the team that are out hustling you in the final couple minutes. Not the guys that have played 45 minutes up until that point. Not guys that have not even sat for the entire postseason, it feels like, with Josh Hart. Those are the guys, they should be the tired ones. And they're not. They somehow get stronger. It really is psycho, man. Psycho behavior from some of these guys.
Yeah, the Pacers gave up 121 points in game one, 130 in game two. That would be New York scoring 125 points per 100 possessions. That's the best offense in the NBA if they played that level during the regular season, and the worst defense in the NBA on the Pacers side. So maybe the Pacers haven't played with TJ McConnell closing games. Maybe they should, because you have to play defense in the playoffs. You absolutely have to. And they got to figure out a way to get a rebound. And they got to get something out of Pascal Siakam. He was good in the first half. He should have been licking his chops when OG Anunoby went out. He scored pretty easily right away, but he went 2-for-10 in the second half of this game. Like you said, he couldn't make a shot in the fourth quarter, couldn't make a free throw in the fourth quarter. It would have been nice to see them find a way to pick on the Knicks defenders. Like, Precious was guarding him a little bit. He scored over Josh Hart in the third quarter. When the game gets ugly and grimy, that's why they got Siakam, to be able to score weird shots, shoot little fadeaways in the lane. Yep. So I felt like he needed more touches, but he wasn't very good down the stretch either. So
nope.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point about Pascal Siakam, because he can do that at times. Look, I understand what Rick's saying. Like Trey said, it usually goes to the home court team. That's basketball. The whistle is better for the home court team. It wasn't in that Minnesota-Denver game, which is odd.
Right.
But just one more team's than the other team, and then you'll be a little bit more happy. I know it's difficult. Jalen Brunson definitely did flop at one point, where he got that call in the second half, where he was just kind of going backwards and probably didn't want to step on his foot and just fell backwards.
Oh, the Miles Turner one.
The Miles Turner
one. Oh, yeah,
line.
It was horrible. It was
floppy.
Rick did the right thing. This was well played.
He got to win at home.
He got tossed at the end. He was sort of quiet after all the controversy of game one, saved it for game two, did his whole monologue. You know, we're going to send it into the NBA. Hey, you got to give us a fair shot. He's playing it perfect. Like, this is what, you know, you have to do these games a little bit through the media. I think it will maybe help them. And it's, you know, well, maybe the team just plays better as well at home. He's going to hope for that. And you can, like, turn off the Knicks offense a little bit. Like, the second halves for the Knicks have been lights out these two games. Like, The Pacers have done good jobs at times, but they just can't put together 48 minutes of slowing them down. So, and there was there was like a Nesmith one where he absolutely got hacked like twice. You could have called a foul on two different guys. He's attacking the rim. Like, yeah, Rick's right. There are definitely calls in this game where it's like, oh yeah, that should have been a foul, or that shouldn't have been a foul. He flopped, but I don't know about 49 incidents. I'd have to go really
that's
dig
intense.
Through all of them. That's intense. It's intense.
He's planting a seed for game three when he goes home with his team that scored 117 and 121 in two games. That's damn good. And if OG Anunoby isn't playing, that is quite scary for the New York Knicks. Because that defense and that offense now, Anunoby's been really good on the offensive end, but he is so good defensively at what he is doing to make guys go to the other side. He's helping everybody. He's making the other team think about what they're doing over and over and over, or he'll help inside and make a block or whatever. He's just so good defensively. So that's scary. Without him, I don't think they win game three. If the Pacers are playing anywhere similar to that, how can how can they stop Pacers team that leads the league in passes through the regular season, leads the league in passes in the postseason because they just keep moving it. So they're going to get good shots no matter what. That's what Rick is making them do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, OG, he honestly kept the Knicks in the game in the first half. I don't want to gloss over it. He had 28 points total. A lot of them, you said, Tass, in the first half.
22.
When Brunson was down, this guy, I think he saw Ice Spice sitting courtside. He turned into like 2019 Kawhi, what he was doing out there. Knocking threes, getting to his spots, you know, fast break dunks and stuff like that. And then, yes, the hamstring injury, it looked bad. This is OG, who has obviously a history of injuries. And hamstrings, notoriously difficult to manage. So I believe they play on Friday night, right? It's not like there's a long time off here.
No, they play every second day, yeah, Friday.
If he's sidelined, that now means the Knicks are missing four of their key front court players, Julius Randle, Bogdanovich off the bench, Mitchell Robinson, and then this would be OG. So Alec Burks or
Shake It Up.
Shake It Up or Sims Time or maybe not. I mean, at some point I almost want to see if Tibbs would just play five guys all 48 minutes.
He would.
Yeah, he would. You're right.
He would.
I want to see it. So let's just try.
I'll do it.
Yeah. You want to test me? I'll do it, man. What else from this game jumped out to you, either from the Pacers side or the Knicks side?
I mean, Josh Hart, man. This guy's awesome. First player since Jimmy Butler in 2013 to play consecutive games without being subbed out. There is a commonality there.
Oh, yeah. That's Tibbs.
It's incredible, man. I feel like Josh Hart actually has a chance to pull a Wilt Chamberlain and play more than 48 minutes per game. They just need a couple of overtimes.
Yeah.
Because he'll play 48, no problem. They asked him about OG after the game. They're like, what's going to change for you? He's like, I'm playing 48 minutes either way.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter to me, but if it goes into overtime, he's getting to 53 easily. I think he could go over 48 and a half minutes. That'd be awesome to see. And then, of course, he was zinging Reggie Miller on the microphone. Having Reggie there for game two was awesome. His like pregame interview with the inside guys where they're asking him if he's nervous going in the building. He's like, no. I've owned this city for years. I've owned this building for years. You got Ben Stiller walking by, like pointing a finger at him. They're making Reggie reenact his headbutt from John Starks.
That was bad. That was awesome, though, man.
I loved it. I just love seeing this guy back, still talking trash, and then, you know, the Knicks fans and Josh Hart get literally the last word.
We had an FU Reggie chant going in the garden. And just in case Reggie in the broadcast wasn't hearing it, because they weren't addressing it, at least on the call.
Right.
And you know, sometimes they're going to avoid addressing it because of the FU. But Josh Hart comes over, like basically, you know, motions for Reggie to take off his headphones. And like, just all you hear on the broadcast is fuck you. Just sounded, if you didn't know what was going on.
And then you also heard,
yeah.
Because Reggie knows expletives are not allowed.
If you didn't know the story of Reggie and his history with the Knicks and then him being there and it's a special moment for this game and you didn't maybe even pick up that the crowd was chanting F you Reggie, you would have thought maybe for a second that Josh Hart just walked over to Reggie Miller and said, hey, fuck you. And walked away smiling. But yeah, he's letting him know that's what they're chanting. We thought he might be the funniest guy in the league, Josh Hart. He's on the show.
Killing it, man.
Yeah. But 19 points, 15 boards, 7 assists. We're going to do our all-NBA playoff teams a little bit later. And spoiler, Josh Hart's going to be on one of these teams. The guy's been doing this all postseason long here.
Yeah. One of the only mistakes that he made was because of TJ McConnell, where he's trying to inbound the ball for the New York Knicks after a made basket. And TJ McConnell is guarding the guy he's trying to pass to in Miles McBride. So Josh Hart steps over the line. two games in a row, TJ McConnell has forced a turnover 3 feet away from the Knicks baseline.
Right, right.
Very cool. And he forced an 8-second violation in this game, too. Awesome TJ McConnell
awesome.
Stuff. I also just want to know from Reggie, I want to ask him if vaping is allowed in Madison Square Garden, because unfortunately you reminded me when you mentioned Ice Spice.
Yeah.
because as I was going through Twitter, I saw that OG Anunoby might like Ice Spice. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting stuff. Also that when OG went down and he had his hamstring injury, there was a fan right behind him, front row, saying, get up, and then look like he went to go vape his vape.
Oh.
So I just want to know. I don't
I
know if he vaped
that.
His vape, number one.
Could have been a pen, maybe, or something? Just, a, like, just an actual
been,
pen?
Could have just been just gnawing on his hand. I'm not...
Fingernail
biting? People say he's vape, so I just want to know if
okay.
That's that should not be allowed.
Okay.
The, and
okay, agreed.
I guess OG likes Ice Spice, I guess.
Yeah, so that clip is funny, where he just, like, he sees her
he
and
looks
just
at
goes...
Her.
Ice Spice.
That's all.
And that's really excited for OG, so that's very funny.
The whole
and then
clip.
He balled out. He honestly was incredible in this game, but we'll see what his status is for game three.
They'll shoot whatever they shot into Brunson's foot into his leg.
Yeah.
Bud
yeah.
Kilmer style. You're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Brunson might not be good in game three.
Yeah, it's true. You know, there's the adrenaline.
I mean, he'll play.
He's going to play.
Yeah.
This guy. Like, it was that was the thing. It was almost shocking. It was like, whoa, where is he? He's not back yet? Because you're like, you're just expecting the way
Definitely.
These guys, you know, these are all hard-nosed guys. And like, you're like, okay, he's going to come back. And then you didn't see him for that entire second quarter. You're like, oh, okay, maybe not. Of course, he comes out of the locker.
He was out there for 4 minutes, as Chrisane said, warming up for
mm-hmm.
4 minutes. He got out there.
Stream team figured it out. That guy wasn't vaping. It was a fume. It's just flavored air.
You're allowed to do
use
that.
It in,
yeah.
in Madison Square Garden.
Well done. Well done.
I mean,
start
a, good,
a new habit.
That's a good flavor for one of those things. Ice Spice. Sounds like a good flavor.
I thought you were going to say Big Apple.
Oh, that's good, too. I'm sure they have that.
Ice Spiced Apple.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Just some more love, too. You said DiVincenzo was on fire.
Oh
that guy
God.
Has a knack for hitting, like, just back-breaking three-pointers. Or, like, three-pointers that, like, suddenly just bring a crowd back. Like, even when they're down, he'll just hit one that's like, oh, crap, here goes the Avalanche. He's good at that. And then Isaiah Hartenstein. What a game from this guy. I think he played 39 minutes. They're forcing the ball out of Brunson's hand. He's making the simple pass, but Hartenstein turned into like Draymond Green. He's like making, you know, kicking out to shooters, obviously still putting a little pressure on the rim. He had 14 points, 12 boards, 8 assists. He was just amazing. I just like can't get over how good this guy and how instrumental he's been to the Knicks' success. So the Villanova Knicks and Hartenstein are carrying the squad right now.
8 assists for Hartenstein was huge. I agree. 7 assists for Josh Hart. He had that beauty, like no looker for a layup
oh,
underneath.
Sick.
As well, they, I mean, them and OG really kept the Knicks in the game because the offense looked pretty ugly when it was Miles McBride being the guy
yeah.
to try and initiate stuff. So, yeah, the finding additional scoring, finding additional playmaking, it was just huge for the Knicks. These guys are, they're making me like the Knicks. I can't,
I know.
Even I can't resist it, man. They're like, they're so magnetic to watch, and you're like, man, they're powered by friendship.
Yeah, yeah.
They're literally powered by like years of being friends, and it makes them all better together. It's incredible.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Do you think this is still a series though?
Yes,
you do. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The Pacers are balling offensively. They went into Madison Square Garden, everybody on top of them. They shot 51% from the floor, 44% from three. Back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
They could have won back-to-back games, so they're going home. I don't see why they would be thrown off by any means.
Right.
Yeah, they hit a freaking couple free throws, and they win this game. That's the unfortunate part. Maybe Siakam steps up a little bit, but their offense is clicking. That's who they are. They run 9 deep. Everybody gets to be in double-digit scoring. That's kind of how they play.
Yeah, and it's not like a lot of their bench guys are letting them down or anything.
Obi Toppin had 20 points
Obi
in
Toppin,
this game.
Obi Toppin, McConnell.
20.
Ben Shepard's been amazing for them. The Rook, like at least in terms of shooting and scoring.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's unfortunate that they kept going to Ben Shepherd because Halliburton wasn't right. That's why they kept going to Ben Shepherd at times. But who knows? Ben and his mustache, as you said, they're good. He's good. He's good.
Great game. Entertaining series. Hopefully, yeah, the Pacers can maybe take game three and this thing goes long.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Big news last night. Nuggets superstar Nikola Jokic won his third most valuable player trophy. This was announced on TNT before the game. So that's one for you, one for me, and one for the horses, baby. MVP trophies. Jokic earned the award for the third time in four seasons. And this one wasn't really close. The Joker garnered 79 first place votes, total of 926 points. And you got SGA receiving 15 first place votes. He finished runner up. Luka coming in third there. He got four first-place votes. Giannis fourth. Jalen Brunson fifth. Not a surprise to anybody. We saw the straw polls from Timmy Good Times. But any thoughts on this, TK? Jokic winning his third in 4 years, man.
3 in 4 years. Pretty good. Pretty one of nine players ever to have three or more MVPs. And I saw John Hollinger mention that Jokic is the only MVP to never have had an all-star, all-NBA, or all-defense teammate in his first eight seasons.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, probably going to be number nine this year, depending on AG and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, if they end up making all-defense. It's possible. I think KCP's got a chance.
Yeah.
Also, one of only 12 players to win a title without an all-star teammate. Not looking good this season to repeat, you know, no. Down 0-2, heading down, heading out on the road. But, man, what a run. Three MVPs in 4 years, obviously finished second in the 1 year that he didn't. You would maybe, if you're questioning any of them, the 2022 one looks probably the strangest, I would say, finishing as a sixth seed. But yeah, it's tough to get the MVP award when you're down in a playoff series, but yeah, it's for the regular season. I remember watching him in the regular season. The guy was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And he raised his game to the absolute pinnacle levels in the biggest games. I'm thinking specifically against the Celtics, but yeah, he's good.
Yeah, see if he can do it here still in this series. Yep. You're down 2-0, but I mean, you got a good team, and you've got now an MVP guy again here. He could have a monster game. I don't think that would shock anyone. They've done a great job of obviously slowing him down in Minnesota, and that defense looks elite, but we'll see. But any thoughts on the MVP here?
Well, I watched all the things that the Nuggets did specifically for Nikola, which was they did a tribute video for him done by his family. It was narrated by his wife, Natalia. It was good to hear his name pronounced Nikola by his wife. So we all know it's Nikola because last year I happened to be right in front of Michael Malone. He always pronounces Nicola. it's Nikola for sure. But I will say, I'm feeling good about them in game three. After all that, after the tribute video, which was a nice little video in a little booklet, you'll have that forever. I like that. He's going to be way better in game three, I imagine. That is the problem with the Denver Nuggets. I know we all talk about Jamal Murray and the defense and all that, but Jokic wasn't himself. He wasn't assertive. He needed to be, and he's got to be his best version here in Game 3. Considering he has three MVPs, considering he's down 2-0, yes, it's probably the worst day that you can give it to the guy. But at the same time,
True. You
hear everything from his family. His brother even got in on it. His family was there in that entire video. So I think there will be more fight from him, and obviously, it's going to go, or he is going to get help, I should say, from the guys who haven't been named to an all-star game like Jamal Murray in this one. Because, rewatching the Murray plays, I do think he's healthy enough to play, even if he's not right. And so everybody's got to be in the paint. They got to do that. They have to be more aggressive. I mean, as simple as that, they got to have better body language. So I think him as a leader is the most important thing. And I'm picking them, even though the Wolves are going to be great as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think this series is going to be 3-0.
What'd you make of the presentation on Inside and how they gave this to Jokic. I don't know if you saw it. Well, Shaq basically...
I saw the question. Yeah. That's basically was the only thing. I saw Charles Barkley... Well, Charles Barkley announced it to him.
He read
it. And Nikola said, amazing. I'm not very...
excited. You should have seen the camera. You should have seen the camera setup they had for Jokic, too. It's like so blurry and like it's, you know, it's a funny angle. It's like, okay, you know he's going to win it. It's always... That perplexes me. But anyway, no, the part that was weird to me a little bit was they announce it on Inside. We're going to talk to Jokic in a second, as they always do, to the award winner. And, hey, Shaq, what do you think? What are your thoughts? And he goes right away into saying, I don't think he should have won it. And he was making the case for Shea. And he's like, I think Shea should have won. Okay, and they're like, well, why? And really, the only reason he could come up with is he scored over 30 points like 50 times. And, you know, he stuffed the stat sheet. And then Ernie, thank God for Ernie, was like, well, yeah, Jokic does a pretty good job of doing that as well. Okay, well, OKC, they're the number one seed in the West. What happened to you know, awarding the winning basketball? Well, yeah, they had the same record as the Nuggets. I mean, it was good to have Ernie pushing back a little bit. It's just like, it's fine. Have your opinion. I mean, if you think it's Shea, you think it's Luka, you think it's somebody else, that's okay. I think the timing of it is a little strange. They're literally announcing a pretty historic thing here, a guy winning his third in 4 years, joining a very, very, you know, incredible list of guys to win three or more, your Kareems and your Michaels and so on. And the first thing we're going to talk about is like, I don't think he should have got it.
Well, the question that Shaq asked in his presentation was also interesting. I don't know how you feel about that, where he said, Nikola, congratulations. I love you. You do a great job out there. I do want to say first, I do think Shea should have won it. And then he asked him, what are you going to do against Minnesota? How are you going to turn it back against Minnesota? And Jokic basically said, that's okay. I don't mind. I'm not going to be angry at you for saying that. But, you know, it is sort of noble to say it to him, I guess.
He said it to his face.
He said it to his face.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. There's that part. So that's fine.
We all know why.
Yeah, because he only has one.
He has one. That's what it comes down to.
And I mean, even that came up in the conversation, and thankfully, Ernie was like, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, we're supposed to be celebrating the current NBA. Okay, man? Yes. Because they got into the whole, well, you can be the best player, but it's not to that. You know, it's NBA. Whatever. It's the same tired sort of argument over and over again. Anyway.
Do you think Steve Nash should have won, is what he should have said?
They've done that argument 10 times.
I know. I wanted Jokic to answer.
Oh, that would have been great. I'm giving this one to Steve Nash or something like that. Pretty funny. But yeah, no player contributes, in the regular season at least, more to winning, really, or creates more value over a replacement sort of player than Jokic. He's just, the numbers are, they're glaring. I think he led the league in plus-minus, plus 682. When Jokic is out there, they're an elite team. When he's out, not. They're not. They're minus 251 when he wasn't on the floor this year to plus 682. It's a big gap. It's a big gap. But great years from all these guys in Shea and Luka and Giannis and Brunson. And
Sabonis.
Look what Anthony Edwards is doing. Yeah, Sabonis.
Yeah, great.
But he got a fourth place vote, I believe.
Is that right?
MVP. It wasn't even fifth place.
Fourth place.
Yeah. Yeah. So somebody voted for Sabonis for Defensive Player of the Year, a third place vote, and then he got a fourth place MVP vote. And people are a little perplexed. It has to be the same person, you would think so.
Big rebounding fan, whoever it is.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I don't think we know yet, though they do release all that.
All those double-doubles, man.
Yeah. We'll find out probably soon when they release the whole thing. All right. Let's get to Beach Steppin'. You got the buzz. I got the rockets. You got the nuts. I got the chocolates. We got that chit-chat down pat, blah, blah, blah. You got that certain special, je ne sais quoi. Let's go to the beach, baby.
Thank you for hitting us up with some fantastic questions. We'll have a few here. Our first one. Hey, no donkeys. Long time, first time, yada, yada. Now that the first round of the playoffs is in the books, I was wondering who's on your All-NBA playoff teams. Thanks. That's from Norris. Mm. You want some All-NBA playoff teams? You get it.
Yeah, I took a pass at this, but I had one rule. You just got to still be playing to make the teams right now. So there's going to be no Embiid or Maxi or LeBron or AD or Paolo or KD or Booker or whoever. I just like... Let's live in the moment, you know? It feels like that was two weeks ago at this point. So I just decided to make that rule. It's the 8 teams remaining to be in consideration for my All-NBA playoff teams.
How many teams are we getting?
I did 3.
Okay.
I'll move with some pace. Okay. I'll move with some pace. Okay. The first team was pretty easy, I thought. Jalen Brunson is on the first team, all NBA playoffs. He leads the playoffs in scoring, 35.6 points per game. He leads the playoffs in usage percentage. Guy like does everything for that team, it feels like. Tosses in 8 assists per game, 4 boards. Okay, he's a no-brainer. Anthony Edwards, we'll throw him in the backcourt there as well. He's averaging 32 points per game. His shooting splits are 55, 42, and 82 right now. 7 boards, 6 assists, highlight defense. They haven't lost. So Jalen Brunson and Anthony Edwards. Jokic is still on the first team, despite trailing 2-0. He's averaging 27, 15, and 9.5 in the postseason, and it feels like he's played like crap. That's where we're at with this guy. He's one of the best rebounders in the postseason. He's only missed 2 free throws the entire postseason. I think he's 39 for 41. That's pretty good. Just jumped out to me. Donovan Mitchell is going to be on the first team. Okay? He's averaging 35 and 5. Despite being nearly as bad from 3 as Luka. You know, Luka's struggled from 3. So has Donovan Mitchell. It's not much better. But, wow, those are huge numbers. Look, I'm living in the moment a little bit. He's had 3 monster games in a row. But he helped his team get out of the first round. You know, he's got to be elite to have any chance to upset the Celtics. And he's been really, really good.
He just did because there's no Celtic so far.
There's no Celtic so far. Yeah. You're going to see some Celtics, but they're on the second and third teams. Because this is where I was like, you could pick a lot of guys for the first team. I ultimately went with Shea, who's averaging 28, 7, and 6. He's led his team to a perfect record, OKC 5-0. He's got like significantly less turnovers than a lot of other lead guards in the postseason. This is like a little notch down from regular season Shea, but still really good numbers. He had like 1 or 2 really bad games, really good other games. So I just put him there. But, you know, as I care about these first, second, third teams, not really much. If you're in the mix, you're in the mix. Second team, Luka's there. Yeah, the numbers are down. Shooting percentages are bad. He's still giving you 28, 8.5 boards, 9.5 assists. But he's sub 40% from the floor. So he's got to get it going here in game 2 tonight. Derek White is on this list. We said he's turned into Ray Allen. It's really wild. He's shooting 28 for 56 on his three-pointers. 50%.
Pretty good.
That's not bad. He's got an effective field goal percentage of 73.6 right now. He's averaging 23 points per game. He gives you great defense. Derek White's on the second team. Jason Tatum's here too. Even though his scoring is way down. Really significantly. 21 points per game on 40% shooting.
Scoring less than Derek White.
Yeah, but 10 rebounds per game. 5 assists per game. They obviously have a great record. So I put Tatum on the second team.
And he's helping Derek White score just by all the attention
he gets. Of course. Kyrie Irving's on the second team. Mr. Second Half. He's averaging 25, 5, and 4. Like Derek White, he's on fire from 3. Kyrie Irving's hit 25 three-pointers in the postseason. And then Josh Hart is here. He's played nearly every minute of the postseason. He's at 374 total minutes. He's averaging 18 points per game, shooting 44% from deep. 12.8 rebounds per game, despite being 6'3", 6'4". 5 assists, a steal, a block, and 1 fuck you to Reggie Miller. So Josh Hart is on the second team. That's Luka, Derek White, Tatum, Kyrie, and Josh Hart. Third team, putting Karl-Anthony Towns here.
Oh, yeah.
He's having by far his best postseason. He's averaging 21-9. Yes, he's had the foul trouble at times, but he has been really, really good. It's probably been overlooked a little bit because of Ant, because of the defense, but he's playing well right now. Jaylen Brown, third team, 24-7-2. He's got a good effective field goal percentage. It's over 60%. One weird note about him, though. Jaylen Brown, 13-24 at the free throw line in the postseason. Like Siakam, who's really struggling from the free throw line. Weird. He's not that bad. He's not great, but he's not that bad.
Probably hasn't taken many in the clutch.
Yeah.
I'd have to imagine. They haven't played a tough game yet.
No. Jalen Williams I've got on the third team. 21-5-3. He's got one of the best plus minuses in the playoffs. He's plus 89 in 5 games, so good things happening when he's out there. And then 2 spots left. Yeah, got a little like, where do you want to go with this? I'll throw the guys at you. You tell me who you have on the list. Siakam, despite having a sort of poor game last night, is averaging 21.5, 8-4. So I think he's in the mix. Michael Porter Jr. averaging 20-7. He's 25 for 55 from 3. So he's good, like Derek White and Kyrie from distance right now. Rudy Gobert, Chet Holmgren, OG Anunoby, you know. Who would you pick or anyone else for those final couple slots?
I'm picking the tandem, OG and Pascal.
Okay.
The boys who used to play together.
the Raptor boys.
Yeah, they have been extremely good.
Yeah.
But you pick, there's other guys, obviously.
That's good. I had Siakam, I think, going to be on there. I was like, oh, I wish he had a better game last night, but I think he's still there with his overall work. Anyone I'm missing?
I would have had Gobert on the first team.
Gobert, yeah, sure.
I actually probably would have had Gobert and Derek White replacing Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
First team.
Yeah. I think Jamal Murray has to get a mention. Doesn't have great stats. Hit two game winners in the first series.
Yeah, but then he threw a heat pack.
Didn't get suspended, though.
Heat pack points. Yeah, sure. Throw him in there. I mean, and then if we're locking into defensive guys, McDaniel's name's going to come up. Nikhil Alexander-Walker. But yeah, you know, you got to get some offense as well here to make a first team, second team, or third team. So that's what I went with. Got some good performances is what we're getting at here. Rudy? Sure. Rudy's definitely on one of the teams. I like that, TK. You can have him on the first team. You love defense. I thought you hated defense.
I do. That's how good Gobert has been.
Gotta respect it.
Yeah.
I gotta respect it.
The guy's been dominant. He's been by far the best defensive player in the playoffs.
Mm.
And he's hit some fadeaway jumpers. Banged it in. Saw him do a Euro step in round one.
And he's got the Fred VanVleet bump coming now, too.
He's gonna start hitting threes.
Yeah. Watch out.
Don't do it. Anthony Edwards said he would walk off the court if Rudy Gobert shoots a three.
We're going to hold him to it.
Yeah. Cold.
It would be amazing if he was a man of his word.
Fine, I quit. Do it yourself, then.
All right, so there's some early looks here, because we obviously have a lot of basketball still to be played in the postseason. All right, next question. This is from Gourmet Spud, our good friend up in Toronto. If Ben Simmons played for your favorite team, how upset would you be seeing him show up at the Met Gala? Especially in that funny little costume. Okay, come on, it's the Met Gala, you're supposed to look silly. It's like when a player is having an absolutely miserable year, but they filmed a bunch of local TV commercials before the season, so every game you are forced to endure watching them shit the bed on the court, interspersed with 15 Gillette ads where they're smiling and actually making shots. It drives me crazy. That's very funny. And here is a photo. Oh, it keeps coming and going away. Of Ben's holy moly.
It shows up, then it goes away. It is Ben Simmons. Everybody getting in their Ben Simmons digs just because he wore a nice outfit at the Met Gala.
Very nice.
He looks good.
He looks great, actually. Yeah.
But you would. So if you're a Nets fan, you're not like, come on, man.
Of course, I'm hurt for the first 82 games. However, no, I shouldn't be upset. I thought people looked great. I do enjoy Twitter for this reason. I don't enjoy Twitter too often, but seeing people like Angel Reese, like seeing Dan Levy at the Met Gala, they looked good.
That was a cool suit. On
Angel Reese looked great. A cool moment for her going into the WNBA, looking great. And this, okay, I don't know about the clock, but the outfit looks good.
I mean,
there's a clock on the side of a briefcase for people who aren't watching.
It's quite the look. Big news or a big moment for our friends, my buddy Grish, our buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, and Dub. They created shoulder plaids. This is super shoulder plaids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they, you know, sales are booming.
They were showing it up at the Summer League in what, 2014 probably?
Oh, yeah. And they did it 10 years prior to that. We're talking high school when these guys came up with the idea to put a little plaid on the shoulders of a t-shirt.
Okay. This is way cooler than.
I know. I'm just saying this is next level. That was inspired by those guys. You know, these guys are fashion icons, apparently.
Right.
But I do like the part of like your team may be sucking and you have those local TV ads where players on your team you're seeing nonstop because you're watching your squad and you're like, oh, God, you're just frustrated because they're not doing it on the court, but they're having fun shaving their face and hitting jumpers in an empty gym.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You got to give it up for Ben Simmons, though. This is the biggest game of the year for him. Came up in the clutch. They're saying he was on a minutes restriction.
That's
why he was carrying the thing.
The clock, yeah.
The clock briefcase. He played 359 minutes this season. I guarantee more time was spent on his outfit than was spent playing basketball this year. I mean, 6 hours. That's just the embroidery alone.
Yeah, there was a funny tweet going around where it's like the photo that we're showing you here on YouTube of Ben Simmons at the Met Gala says, what does this guy do for a living? Wrong answers only. And the first one that went viral was plays basketball. God, it was good. It got me. I was like, God damn it, it's good.
That's a good one, yeah.
But, yeah, what a look. He looks good. This guy should just be a model, man.
He is.
Well, yeah. He sort of is.
You're like, you're very excited to see what he wears on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Like, wow, look at that crazy guy sitting at courtside. Oh, wait. He plays sometimes.
Would the NBA He's allow developed. You to show up with a briefcase with a clock on it on the sidelines?
Great question.
Like, how far can you go with your accessories on the sidelines? Mm. Probably there is a rule you can't bring things like that, I would think.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, though. I don't know.
They got heat packs over there.
Yeah, that's true.
He's gotten way better because on the sideline, I used to just see him in a hockey jersey.
True, yeah.
Some say he was wearing a jock cup. To help protect himself because he was wearing a hockey jersey. It was it was an accessory.
Oh.
Can you wear that? Can you wear a physical?
So.
Maybe he is.
Do you think he'll cash in the money in the bank at Backlash coming up? Oh, wait, it just happened. Never mind.
What is Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank is
Did it happen? I know Priest cashed in.
Priest cashed in at WrestleMania.
So it's
got
to be available soon. They got to have that one.
Yeah, it's probably around the corner.
Yeah, probably.
Well, maybe he'll make an appearance in the AEW. He seems more like an AEW type of guy. I would say.
Yeah,
and
that
maybe that's
sounds
a start.
Like a diss in a weird way.
Well, I don't know. Anyways, I think the Nets are thinking about trading his last year on his contract. And that was the odd part to me is that there was no disabled exception in prospect here for the Brooklyn Nets. They're thinking he is coming back, and he is going to be coming back, but he only has 1 year left on his contract, which pays $40 million. So I assume at some point they are making calls to hope that they're giving away an expiring deal rather than the Ben Simmons.
Mm, right. Yeah, player?
The whole, yes. That okay. whole thing. The yeah, idea that maybe play. He'll come back. That whole idea.
Okay.
Anyways, Gourmet Spud, it was great. Also, Gourmet Spud did throw this in here as well. He said, Was Kirk Goldsberry mispronouncing Tass's name on the show a couple days ago, or have you guys been mispronouncing it for the last 20 years?
Yeah, which one do you think it is?
I think Kirk Goldsberry was pronouncing it properly. I think Kirk Goldsberry knows how it's pronounced in Greek, just like you do, Gourmet Spud. What we need from Gourmet Spud, I know where he lives. He lives by a lot of Greek restaurants. He can go into these Greek restaurants and show him, T-A-S, how is that pronounced? The full name is Tassos. We're going to get some good video, I think, from Gourmet Spud. And Kirk Goldsberry is just a smart guy, so that's why he's calling me Tuss. Or he just doesn't know how to pronounce my name. One of the two. It's fine.
I thought he was pronouncing a lot like Matt Devlin does.
Oh, fair point.
He must listen to Matt Devlin.
Maybe it's
always listens to the Raptors broadcast. You can say you're right.
Yeah, that's the proper way.
Well, hold on. Your full name...
Yeah.
Okay, no, we can't.
This is why I cut this out, but I'm kidding. Go on.
I put it in.
Is Anastasios.
Yeah.
So Anastasios or Anastasios?
Well, you should work on it. You should work on it too, JD. It's Anastasios. Tassos. Yeah, but that's the legal name. That's like a bunch of people names in this world, like Latin names where you have four names. You just go, your actual name is a short form of that name, and that's what mine is. It's Tassos. So people can say, in Greek, anyways, but it's
Tass. So you're fine with Tass?
Well, no, yes and no. Yes and no, depends on the day. But that's how you pronounce it in Greek.
On Wednesday is cool.
That's how you pronounce it in Greek.
We had him Tuesday.
Yeah, it was Tuesdays. Tuesday.
It's Toss Tuesday. Let me toss to the next Tuesday. Question.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hey, No Ducks. I have been listening for almost exactly 4 years now and have enjoyed every single minute. At the end of each show, I always attempt to predict what Toss's closing line will be. No, Tass's closing line will be. Every single day for 4 years, I have never even gotten close. One day I will. What is something you attempt frequently but have never gotten right? Turn up, love you guys. Awesome. That is from Phoenix. I was going to say, that's from Arnold in Phoenix, but his name is Phoenix Arnold. That's from Phoenix Arnold.
Right. Think in California.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Go ahead if you have an answer.
I guess pronouncing Tass. Sometimes you think you got it right, maybe you got it wrong. For me, though, I would say predicting Survivor winners, impossible. No way. I don't think I've ever gotten one right after the first episode. Mm. Same with NCAA tournament winners.
Oh, it's tough, too.
Yeah, pretty bad at it because I'm like, pick the teams that have the most NBA draft prospects, which means they are the youngest teams that have no continuity.
Right.
They always lose. And another one is dunking. I actually tried to dunk at pickup on Tuesday.
I did.
Threw me an outlet pass. I was coming on the left wing. I was like, wow, I actually got a chance here. I touched the rim.
Yeah.
Made the finger roll, yeah. But not even close.
That's going to be a tough gym to do it in. That's not a bouncy floor.
I need it on the other end. I think the other end rim is maybe an inch short, tiny bit low.
So you decided there's no way I'm dunking. I'm just going to lay it in, finger roll it in.
Yeah, I knew I was short.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I almost had an OG Anunoby-esque jump when I went to do it. Didn't pull a hamstring or anything like that.
You gotta be careful, yeah.
But felt like I had the same lift into the stanchion.
You're optimistic. All right. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Let's see. At the other side of the floor, I guess.
Those were good answers. I will add something you attempt frequently but have never gotten right. Correctly picking the fastest cashier or checkout line at the grocery store. Or any sort of store where there's multiple lines and you're like, which one? Does that cashier look better than the others? Oh, what about the people in line here? How many items? Never get it right. Never.
So many variables. I don't know if it's more, if the cashier skill is more important or the number of items is more important.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Or the people themselves
checking out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I overthink it and I'm almost always wrong. Even like crossing the border, like in a car where you've got a bunch of lines and you're like, you know, they're all fairly even, but you're like, maybe this one's got one less car. I'll always pick the wrong one. Always. It'll be the one where then somebody will get questioned and I'll pull over here and then you're sitting there. I'm just bad at it.
Yeah, I'm looking, awesome. Like, I feel like I heard a Disney tip when I was a child. Go to the line on the farthest left because most people are right-handed.
Interesting.
There's no way that's true.
I'm going to try it. I'll put it to the test. I got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose at this point.
Because most people are right-handed. That's the suggestion.
I guess so. I don't know.
Well, that's a weird suggestion.
Exactly. It's way too simple for it to possibly be.
Wouldn't that make sense for Disney rides? Most people want to be at the front of the ride.
Mm.
But I don't know. You know, so maybe there's less people that want to be in the back.
I don't know, because I'm with you. I don't think it works. But it's nice to have a game plan. I'm going left.
Okay. Everybody go left. JD, yeah. Do you have anything for this? Any
answers? It's a pickleball move, but so it doesn't really matter. It's called an ATP. It's around the posts. Is you don't have to hit the ball over the net. You can hit around the net.
Oh yeah,
right. It's just like tennis.
Yeah, it's hard to do. The opportunity has to present itself.
Right.
I've done it once accidentally, and I've been trying to replicate that. And
do you have to worry about being in the kitchen?
Yes, that's another part of it.
Oh, that's interesting. That would make it tough. So the kitchen, like, it extends. Imaginary kitchen extends.
No. You can jump around the kitchen.
You'll be out of bounds.
But there is no out of bounds. You can, if you're in the kitchen, you can't step in it,
no.
But you can go around it. So you can literally, like, if it's on your side of the net, you can hit it around the post.
Oh, okay.
And you don't have, it's not imaginary. It's that line.
You could be right at the net, but outside of the
kitchen. That's what I meant.
Correct. Yeah, there's a move called the Ernie as well, where you jump.
Elevator Ernie?
Yeah, you can jump over the kitchen onto the other side of the like the outside border of the line, and then hit the ball as well.
And when you do that, do you have to go, that was a BlackBerry moment?
Yes,
Ernie.
That is a hell of a 100%. Deep cut. That's a for very, you NBA very sickles. You've got to be an NBA sicko to get that.
Well, he likes to wear the elevator Ernie shirt that he wore historically. I mean, that's an elevator Ernie move.
Mm. Yeah.
He could literally pull that off.
Maybe. I have an Ernie elevator shirt.
Mm.
Remember, I wore it in a dunk contest.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. All right, final one here from Bennett. I, too, cannot unsee Mark Daigneault squinting all the time. And now I harbor a fantasy of casually advising him that he might want to go see an eye doctor. Is there some unsolicited advice you want to give to someone? Or if you actually gave some, how did it go? Sorry, Bennett. Yeah, we got it in your head. Mark Daigneault. Here's another one. Try and, tonight, I guess, watch how infrequently JB Bickerstaff has his arms uncrossed. That man is non-stop crossed arms.
Keeps them crossed, huh?
Yeah, watch for it.
PJ Washington.
I get excited
style.
When he undoes his arms. He is like this.
I get excited.
A lot of the
get
game.
Excited.
So often. I think a lot of coaches, it's a go-to move, but he keeps them locked there. So anyway, watch that as well.
It's a good one.
Yeah, but you got any answers to this from Bennett?
Well, my mother-in-law speaks very loudly, so I told her to go see a hearing doctor or go get a hearing check.
That's smart. My mom speaks loud too.
She said, what?
Yeah. Do you sometimes say, like, hey, like you're talking loud.
No, no. But people who are a little older.
Yeah.
Don't hear as well.
Yeah, they don't.
Especially when I tell them to go see a hearing doctor.
You guys got anything?
Yeah, I got some pieces of advice. This one goes out to you two.
Okay.
And JJ Redick. Don't wear a backwards hat if you ever want to coach an NBA team.
I purposely did this today. I was surprised. That's my back-to-back days. Yeah.
Double back-to-back backwards hats. I was shocked. I had this written down as a piece of advice before walking into the factory today.
Oh, wow.
Only to see two backwards hats. So exciting.
It's the uniform.
Yeah, I would also say to James Dolan, you got to pull a reverse Justin Timberlake. Add the to the sphere. It's just called sphere.
Great call.
Everybody calls it the sphere.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah.
I know.
That's good.
And the final one goes to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren. If they ever ask you to sing in a commercial, say no.
Yeah.
And honestly, every NBA player, just say no.
Mm.
Especially if you know it's going to be during the playoffs. Because I've had too much what a pro wants.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's brutal. It was fine. It was maybe fine the first time, and that's maybe even arguable. And
but we got it during NCAA tournament, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I also feel like word of advice to NBA advertisers, we should have a mandate that we get a new round of commercials for every round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
We need something new, something fresh.
Even if you just tweak that commercial, like give us a variation of it.
Like
sing
a
different song or something. Yeah, like honestly.
I'm a phone plan in a bottle. What are they selling?
Good question. It's AT&T,
I don't know.
Right?
I guess,
yeah.
Yeah. Something about optimization.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
No.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you're hurting your own brand, you know, just by repeating the same. You're just pissing people off at a certain point.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Well, what's the, I mean, what are they even selling? I guess it's the wings, right? Wingstop, the No Flex Zone.
Yeah. No Flex Zone Jenga is a Wingstop one, yeah.
That one's nonstop. Yeah, it's like a handful of commercials nonstop. Good advice.
Really, I do like the iPhone one about not deleting your pictures.
That one, I love that commercial.
Still hits for me.
Yeah. And I never tired from the Jimmy Butler commercials where he's singing on the plane or whatever.
The Michelin?
Yeah, Michelin.
I don't know.
What's,
maybe they
what's
didn't
the tune he
much.
Does? It's like a weird, it's a rock, yacht rock, right? What yeah. is he singing?
Oh, he, so yeah, memorable. I forget
it's
what
it's not
it
Hootie, right? Yeah. He's not doing Hootie, is he?
It's something like that.
Or is
that
another one? Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. Great questions, guys. Keep them coming. Never know when we're going to hit the beach. Before we go, let's do Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Podcast listeners, jump over to YouTube because you want to see some of these photos, because we're talking about weird mascots, creepy mascots, because this was a day or so ago, at Richard_normal tweeted, there should be a sports team whose mascot is an unimaginable specter of pure fear. Now, was this a little Twitter engagement type tweet here just to get the responses? Maybe, but it worked because I saw some funny responses. Friar Dom.
Whoa.
This is a creepy ass mascot of the college. So good one there. We have had
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, you know we got a Gritty. The Gritty's like
endearing a little.
Yeah, he's a little. Yeah,
got a big stupid smile.
It's like it's as if I showed you Cam Stewart and said, "Hey, turn Cam Stewart into a mascot." You're like, that's perfect.
Yep. Nice boots.
I didn't really know about this one. Partick Thistle is a mascot that's pretty creepy. It's a soccer team.
Partick Thistle?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Is that a
club.
Son?
It's a son, I guess. I'm sure there's a crazy story to this. Maybe a kid drew it, and they're like, turn it into a mascot. But holy crap, is it creepy. Okay. Son is coming to get you. And then I wanted to end with an NBA one.
Oh,
and
classic.
Of course, King Cake Baby. Like, that's terrifying. A terrifying mascot of unimaginable specter of pure fear. And there was tons more, but had to draw the line somewhere. What, did you just look up Mr. Thistle?
Of course, I'm looking at it. I think a man designed this. A Turner Prize nominated man. I don't know what that is. But an artist came up with this thing.
Oh, I thought a kid.
Kingsley is its name.
Yeah, Kingsley, okay. But the team is called Partick Thistle, I guess.
Yeah.
Football club, yeah.
Yeah, that is a wild-looking mascot.
Hey, go back to Trey. Maybe Trey can do an angry face. He looks a little bit like Partick Thistle
today,
JD. Yeah,
I can
today,
be like, split screen it.
I got that bright yellow on. Yeah, it's popping, man.
It's got a little Matty O to it. It looks like an old Matt Austin. He's got a good mean face.
Partick Thistle.
It looks a little Basquiat. Like Basquiat could have made that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Weird stuff.
Skeets, good.
You got
tweet.
A scariest NBA mascot? Because King Cake Baby, yes, he is NBA affiliated.
Yeah.
But...
like actual one?
Yeah.
Ooh, scariest mascot. Well... you know, I'm a big fan of the Nightmare Ant.
Yes,
in
yes,
the G
of course.
League, if he does still exist.
I think they become the Red Claws. I don't know who they are. Yeah, maybe
no, they're still
are
they're the Mad Ants. I think.
The Mad Ants, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But we call them Nightmare Ant. NBA mascot.
Yeah, there's none current.
Who's
that are
the creepiest?
Scary.
I mean,
Brooklyn
the Brooklyn
Knight was
Knight.
Weird
Brooklyn Knight
looking.
Was a weird one.
The Cavs? No, that's not. The man with the Cavs.
Oh, the sword guy.
No, he's not.
Because they got
Sir
two.
Sir CeCe, is that his name? Sir CeCe?
Yeah. He just looks like a
cuts
normal.
My hair on the weekends, and then... Remember Mavs, man?
He was creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Basketball skin. Ugh, don't like that.
You know what?
Anybody who's an actual man, that's...
anything yeah. that's a man is weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So how about the Celtics mascot? Just a leprechaun guy.
Just a guy.
Just a dude that can jump.
Lefty.
People would pick, even though I do like him, I find him funny, the Coyotes... Coyote's a little creepy.
Weird eyes.
He's got weird eyes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, he can be creepy. Absolutely.
I'll toss a little sprinkle on Slamps and the Lion.
Ah, yeah.
I don't like his eyes. They're the complete opposite of the Coyotes. The Coyotes are big and bulging. Slamsons are hidden deep in his face.
There's something very sad about Slamson.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're deep in his face.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Seen some things.
He's definitely seen some things. Dark times.
That's a good one.
All right. We'll call it there. Let's hear your creepiest NBA mascot or mascots in general. Drop them in the YouTube comments. Tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. That's it for us here for No Dunks, but coming up later, brand new episode of No Buffs, episode 11 of Survivor 46 last night. Great episode. We'll break it down at 1 p.m. Eastern. No Buffs has its own YouTube feed, its own podcast feed. So Survivor fans, come join us. Talk about that episode last night. There's only a couple left in this season, so get in now. It's a great time to get in. And then tomorrow, we're back with the Drop Podcast. Two games on tonight. Game 2, Cavaliers-Celtics. Game 2, Mavericks-Thunder. So we'll break those down. Five-star Friday reviews.
Confirmed.
Maybe worst of the week.
Maybe.
You never
probably know.
Rapid fire fun. and a whole lot more. So we'll see you at 10 a.m. Eastern here in the Classic Factory. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, taking a chance here, but Jimmy Butler in the Michelob commercial?
Yeah.
1,000 miles and I would walk 1,000 more. Is it that?
No.
1,000 miles is probably Vanessa Carlton, the one.
Yeah.
Her commercial?
Well, I just know she has a...
You know I walk 1,000 miles. Is it either of those? I don't know.
Oh, because I just saw a comment that it's 1,000 miles, but maybe it's...
Yeah, because the Proclaimers was, I'm going to walk 500 miles.
Yeah.
But there's two of them. Yeah, so
there is two of them.
They're back.
Yeah. You got to walk 1,000.
That's true. All right, embrace the day, people.